Hear previous broadcasts of Armed American Radio and join the blog discussion at armedamericanradio.com or on Facebook at Armed American Radio. Here again, Mark Walters.
Sitting in the mobile, don't you love that? Mobile, the mobile Crossbreed Holster Studios in Virginia Beach, Virginia, my old stomping grounds. And if you've been paying attention to the last half hour of the program, you've heard some interesting talk about reciprocity and national reciprocity. And, of course, Phil Van Cleave on the ongoing saga of Katie Couric and the intentional deception. That means lie, and it's just a fancy way to say lie about this whole under-the-gun phony documentary. We're going to be talking more about that now because my next guest is a man that you've heard on this program many times. You see him on Fox News as a Fox News contributor, and of course he is the author of More Guns, Less Crime in its third edition, and also the head of the Crime Prevention Research Center, CPRC, excuse me. Got too many little boxes open up here on my computer. So let's go to Dr. John Lott right away. You can also follow us at crimeresearch.org. You can follow John and all of his amazing work at crimeresearch.org. John Lott, welcome to the program. Always a pleasure, my friend.
Great to talk to you again. Thanks for having me on. Just a minor correction. I'm a columnist now at foxnews.com.
Columnist.
Anyway.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you for that. Yeah, thanks for the correction. We appreciate it very much. John, let's go to so much to talk with you about. And I want to direct listeners to crimeresearch.org. You can actually follow along some of these stories as we talk in real time. And if you're listening to the program later, delayed, wherever you happen to be across the country, please make sure to head over to crimeresearch.org and support the work that Dr. John Lott does. And I got to tell you, Dr. Lott, with this whole Katie Couric thing, your work really highlights the importance of your work. Let's start with that. You did a roughly four-hour interview from a tweet, and we've talked about it. I've talked about it on both of my radio programs, this and Armed American Radio's Daily Defense, and not 1 second of that interview wound up in the film, did it?
No, yeah, I mean, we did like 2 hours of pre-interview, and then I had to travel up to New York. You know, it was supposed to only be at most a one-hour interview up in New York City, but it ended up turning into almost 4 hours. And, you know, we ended up talking about the points that she's ended up having in the movie. So, for example, her claim that supposedly 40% of gun sales are done without background checks, you know, it's just a dishonest claim, any way you cut it, and or just the discussions that she had on these expanded background checks. One of the things I tried to point out over and over again in our interview was how costly these are and the mistakes that are made and how a lot of the people that you end up hurting are the poor and disadvantaged, making it more costly, more difficult for the most vulnerable people in our country to be able to have the option to legally defend themselves. And I went through all that. None of the points were considered. Look, I mean, if you were to do a documentary, I'm sure, you know, you have a point of view, but you would go and deal with the strongest arguments on the other side and explain what's wrong with them. Her attitude seems to be to try to shield her, you know, her audience from knowing what the arguments are on the other side. So I don't think that they're particularly well served. I mean, if it's just kind of rah-rah for the already converted, I suppose that's one thing. But if it's something there to actually educate people to be able to go and argue for her side on these things, which she obviously has. I mean, it was not a particularly friendly interview that I had with her. You know, I would think she would do it differently. Or you could have both sides kind of have a debate. But, you know, if you had confidence in your position that it would win in the debate, that seems like a good way of doing it. I know I always, when I go and give talks, I prefer debates because it's one thing for me to go and say, this is what the argument is on the other side, and then deal with it. It's another thing to actually have the other side raise those points because then it comes across as more convincing to the audience. And in fact, those are the strongest arguments that the other side has.
Well, John, you just mentioned that it wasn't a particularly friendly interview. You know, I've played the clip multiple times on both of my radio programs of her claiming that this was an honest look and it wasn't a film about or didn't take the side of gun control from her interview she did on the Colbert Show as she was drinking Bud Light and joking it up. And we all knew, at least on this side of the fence over here, what we were about to witness with this film, because we know Katie Couric's anti-gun history. But you made it. That's an interesting point. So let me ask you that. You said it wasn't a friendly interview. Was it in the way she phrased the questions? Was it the way was it the way the question was actually asked? Was it asked aggressively? Was it the tone of voice? In what way was it not particularly friendly?
I mean, lots of different ways. The tone of her voice, the way she would make dismissive remarks when I would go and make comments, you know, lots of different things. You know, for example, one time I asked her whether when she was on CBS Evening News, whether they had ever had a story about somebody using their guns defensively. And she just couldn't understand what would possibly be the point of running a story like that. So, I mean, and I try to explain that, well, you know, if people only hear about bad things that happen and never hear about the benefits, they're going to have kind of a, you know, imperfect view on how frequently defensive gun uses occur relative to how frequently bad things happen with guns. I mean, is she really going to argue that there's never a defensive gun use case? I mean, I would argue based on surveys that sure. defensive gun uses occur four or five times more frequently than crimes are committed with guns. But, you know, she could probably point to 1,000 news stories that she had over her career on bad things that happened with guns. If she can't even point to one case where she had a story about somebody using a gun to protect other people or themselves, you know, I think that's imbalanced. And, you know, she just kind of smirked when I asked it. She didn't take it seriously at all. So, you know, it's just an example of the type of discussion that we had.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the next time you talk to her, feel free to give her my number. I'd be more than happy to explain to her.
I don't think we're going to talk too frequently. I mean, it's just this is the only time I've run into her. You know, I doubt. Look, I was a little bit afraid for 4 hours, you know, almost 4 hours, that you could go and pick something. I was actually kind of amazed that she wasn't using any of it in the movie, you know, because I figured, I mean, you know, it just seems like if she could have used something, she would have used it in the movie.
Well, it seems we discussed it on the program, not with you here, but my, I guess, synopsis of the whole thing was that you discussed facts, you didn't make her look good, and therefore she couldn't find anything in that piece that made her look good, which really, you know, the emperor's clothes are off. We see what this type of quote-unquote documentary was about when they can't use the nation's preeminent expert, and that's you, and they can't, I mean, my gosh, they didn't even put anything on there to try to make you look bad, so they probably couldn't. But it's fascinating, you know, when you talk to her about when you mentioned the defensive gun uses, you're talking to an individual that used a gun defensively. And that's a conversation I would be willing to have with anybody anytime, but they don't seem interested in it. As you said, it is absolutely crazy. What's your overall assessment now? Because interestingly, we find out on this program about a week ago that Phil Van Cleave at VCDL did a separate two-hour interview with Katie Couric, John, and they left it on the floor as well and only used that, you know, the parts that we now know are infamous. So we've got 30 seconds for that answer. But did it surprise you to find out that Phil Van Cleave was also left on the floor?
Oh, I mean, my guess is they wanted to have people that they could try to get across as being clueless. And right. So people, the more somebody knows about something, probably the less likely they would be to have them on the show.
Well, it seems to be that that's the case, and I think when we found out, not just you, but then after the fact, I found out Phil had the same scenario play out with his interview, and then, of course, we saw subsequently what they did with the VCDL in an attempt to make them, to entirely discredit them. When we come back, we're going to talk with Dr. John Lott from crimeresearch.org. I want you to go check out the site. We've got a whole bunch of stuff. We want to debunk another New York Times op-ed. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, I'm sure you know by now, I'm a proud member of the United States Concealed Carry Association. They are by far the leaders in providing the absolute best education, training, and a tenacious legal defense for self-reliant Americans like you and me. Now, it's the USCCA's mission to help responsibly armed Americans like you become the best protector and defender of your loved ones that you can be. And folks, the USCCA has something exciting going on right now. I don't want you to miss it. Now, for just a few days more, the USCCA is giving away $10,000 worth of free ammo. Now, can you imagine sharpening your skills at the range without worrying about running out of ammo? Now, instead of just one winner, they're going to draw four, which means you have four chances to win free ammo for a year. Now, visit their website, defendfamily.com, to enter today. Now, take your personal preparedness to the next level with the help of the USCCA, and you can enter to win $10,000 worth of ammo. It's quick, it's simple, it's free. Just go to the website, defendfamily.com, right now. One word, defendfamily.com.
I don't think I need to tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. When it comes to concealed carry, a smart shooter is a prepared shooter. And going to the range and shooting at a target just isn't enough. While training is important, you need something more. And that's why 135,000 responsibly armed Americans rely on Concealed Carry magazine. To pick up where training at the range leaves off, expect life-saving information on every page, every issue. Whether it's unbiased gun and gear reviews or real stories of self-defense, from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll stay up to date on the latest training drills and laws regarding your right to carry your firearm. And for a limited time, when you start your subscription, you'll automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this won't last long. So go to the number one of the number four guns.com right now to begin your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. That's one of four guns.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit crossbreedholsters.com today.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, USCCAOnAir.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You, too, can win by simply visiting the website USCCAOnAir.com. USCCAOnAir.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting USCCAOnAir.com. Don't miss out.
Expansion Industries is a national ammunition supply and sales company based in the Mid-Atlantic region that provides bulk sales of quality target ammunition and reloading supplies. Buy 1,000 rounds today and receive free shipping on your order. Visit Expansion Industries online at exp-ind.com and save today. We're a family-owned and faith-based company in the heart of Virginia. It's about freedom. exp-ind.com. Expansion Industries.
You're tuned in
to Armed American Radio.
Those who oppose any common sense gun control or gun safety measures have a pretty effective way of ginning up fear that somehow the federal government's about to take all your guns away.
Look, if you're a Democrat pulling the lever for gun grabbers, you're no friend of mine.
Protecting your right to bear arms.
Here is Armed American Radio's Mark Walters.
In the Mobile Crossbreed Holster Studios, coming to you live from Virginia Beach, Virginia. I love live radio, and I love that quote there, those words from the great orator himself, Barack Obama. He slipped, he blew it when he said gun control, and then corrected himself and said gun safety measures, because we all know what gun safety measures from a liberal Democrat socialist is, code word for gun control. Speaking of gun control, the opinion pages op-ed over at on May 31st at the New York Times, you know, the gray lady, the paper of record, by Alan Berlow. And I'll give you just a little bit of a taste of this. And then Dr. John Lott, my guest, Fox News columnist and author of More Guns, Less Crime, answers this. For more than 80 years, now quoting from the New York Times, the United States has forced a tough and effective gun control law that most Americans have never heard of. It's a 1934 measure called the National Firearms Act, or you might know it as, this is me talking now, the NFA. Back to the quote. And it stands as a stark rebuke to the most sacred precepts of the gun lobby and provides a model we should build on. Leaders of the NRA, National Rifle Association, rarely talk about the Firearms Act, and that's probably because it imposes precisely the kinds of practical and constitutional limits on gun ownership, such as registration and background checks, that the NRA regularly insists will lead to the demise of the Second Amendment. Dr. John Lott, welcome back to the program, my friend. Let's go to your piece at crimeresearch.org, where you talk about this very column. What can help us kind of break this down, would you? The NFA, tell us about what it is and what he's trying to persuade us of.
Well, since the 1930s, people have had to register any machine guns and some other types of guns that they have. And this is being put forward as a big success. There are a couple other claims that are in here. That one, that it proves that registration doesn't lead to confiscation of guns. And supposedly this is helpful in reducing crime. You know, the problem is, first of all, the person that they quote, Jeff Feloder, who's the executive director of the National Firearms Act Trade and Collectors Association, I've talked to, he basically denies he made that quote to the author of this New York Times piece. He says it, all the quotes basically from him in this piece, which provide the evidence that the piece uses to make its claims, are misquoted, inaccurate, and pretty much have nothing to do with what he actually said. But beyond that, in that sense, it's kind of like the Katie Couric stuff that we were just talking about. But beyond that, you know, anybody who knows anything about recent history with gun registration knows that it's already been used in the United States multiple times to go and confiscate guns. You had in 2013, New York City used registration lists to demand that people turn in guns. You've had it in California. You've had it in Chicago. You've had it in Connecticut. You don't need to look around the world at places like the UK or Australia or other places where they had registration and then required that people have to turn in their guns. You can just look at the United States. And so, beyond that, this claim that somehow registration is helpful in reducing crimes is just nonsensical. You can look at multiple places in the United States that have had registration licensing of guns, and you just don't find any evidence that it was helpful in solving crimes. In 2013, the D.C. Police Department reported in a deposition that they could not point to any specific instance where registration records have been used to determine who committed a crime. They haven't used to solve one crime. Hawaii is similar. In 2012, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police were asked about their registration system of handguns since 1934 and long guns, which have been in effect for about 15 years, and they couldn't point to a single example where registration had actually solved a crime that they didn't solve otherwise. So, but the thing is, they have real costs. I testified in Hawaii in the year 2000 when they were thinking about changing their registration laws. And I had worked with a couple state legislators there, and they asked the Honolulu police chief two questions. One, could he point to any crimes that had been solved? And the answer was no. And they asked him, how costly is it? What resources are used to institute this registration and licensing system? And the Honolulu police chief said it took about 50,000 hours of police time each year in order to run it. There's a simple reason why registration doesn't solve crimes. I mean, in theory, people can say, well, if a gun is left at the crime scene and it's registered to the person who committed the crime, then you can go and get the gun and trace it back to the person who committed the crime. The problem is, one, crime guns are very rarely left at the crime scene. In the few cases that they are left at the crime scene, it's either because the criminal's been killed or seriously wounded. And in the few cases that's left there, they're not registered. In the couple cases that they are, they're not registered to the guy who committed the crime. And so, you know, we can spend all these resources. You know, 50,000 hours of police time per year in Hawaii can be used to do a lot of good police work. Police are very effective. They're very important in solving crime. But let them do traditional type policing that we know works rather than go and have them have to waste their time on these types of politically correct things.
Yeah, well said. And I got to tell you, too, when you're talking about it comes to mind to me, and I want listeners to think, when you're talking about those guns rarely being registered, let's just call that what it is. We're talking, ladies and gentlemen, about stolen firearms. Criminals violate the law. They steal things. So pay very careful attention to what you're hearing here and be able to read between the lines. Don't be that headline surfer. John, part of what I took away from
sure it's necessary to say that they're stolen. I mean, look, here's the big problem. According to the Obama administration, about 80% of crime in the United States is gang-related, and the vast majority of that is drug gang-related. How hard has it been for us to stop drug gangs from getting a hold of drugs? Well, you know, if today I could click my fingers and cause all illegal drugs to disappear and all guns, how long would it be before they'd start bringing in illegal drugs again? Right. 10 minutes, a half hour? How long would it be before they'd bring in the guns that they'd need to protect? It's not like a drug gang who has its guns or its drugs stolen by another gang can go and call up the police and say, our drugs just got stolen, can you help get them back? They have to set up their own militaries essentially to go and protect that valuable property.
And they do it. John Lott, we're getting ready to close out this hour. I could talk with you for the remainder of the broadcast. Thank you for everything that you do. Crime Prevention Research Center, that's Dr. John Lott. You know John Lott, columnist over at Fox News and the author of More Guns, Less Crime. Thank you, sir, for everything that you do. CrimeResearch.org to help John Lott and the CPRC get the word out, the truth. You saw how important the truth out there is in the face of the Katie Couric lie, the fraud. More on that coming up in the next hour with AWR Hawkins from Breitbart News. I'm Mark Walters, filling your prescription for freedom, and you've been listening to the Armed American Radio Network live from Virginia Beach in the mobile Crossbreed Holster Studios. Remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely.